Let us turn again to the part of God's Word read in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. And let us read again and consider, as the Lord will be pleased to enable us, the words we'll find in verse 6 of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This well-known Psalm, Psalm 23, begins with the greatest assurance, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You may ask, concerning any spiritual necessity for the soul, it'll be comprehended in these words, "I shall not want." I will not want repentance, faith, new obedience, a good hope, an anchor within the veil, the truth as it is in Jesus, a shepherd to lead, a shepherd to guide, a shepherd to uphold, I shall not want. In all the circumstances of the believer, this is the constant hope and the constant experience. Recall, as you will, whatever believer trusting in the Lord, as we have in the Old Testament scriptures, recalled in Hebrews chapter 11, they all lived by faith and they died by faith. They were all able to sing Psalm 23 and to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Was with a view to the Good Shepherd that they were able to say this, not looking to themselves, not looking to their own wisdom or their own way, but looking to the Good Shepherd of Israel. "The Lord is my shepherd." Not only looking after a merely historical view of the matter, that there was such a person, that he did such a person, that he was born in Bethlehem, and that he died in Calvary, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that Paul speaks much and glories in him and his finished work, to be found in him, Paul says, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness that is by faith in Jesus Christ. Not merely to know of such a person spoken in these terms in the Word of God, but to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, my own shepherd. I am a sheep, one of the sheep of his pasture. I am one of the sheep of his choosing." When he chose a flock of his inheritance in the past eternity, "Thine they were," Jesus says in John 17, "and thou gavest them me." They were all the sheep of the Lord, and they became the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sheep of his pasture. There at the beginning, having in view this good shepherd that he had, the apostle is saying, "I shall not want." Does he want anything? Does he lack anything? Does he lack power? Does he lack inclination? Does he lack opportunity? Is the devil too strong for him? Is the carnal heart of man too strong for him? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He begins thus, and he ends with an equally exultant spirit of praise and expectation. "Surely," he says, "goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." No qualification. No ifs or buts, no maybes, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You remember in the revelation that John had, the last book in the New Testament, that the very beginning of that revelation was a revelation of the power and presence of the Good Shepherd. He saw, heard a voice as the voice of the sound of many waters. And he saw, turned and saw this vision before him. Eyes like burning fire and feet of brass. It was the Lord. It was the Lord revealing himself to him at the beginning. He was the greatest revelation of all the revelations that he received concerning heaven and the inhabitants of heaven. The greatest revelation was the Lord, for the Lord said on that occasion, I am the beginning, I am the first, and I am the last. I am the Alpha. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. And I am Omega, that's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. I am the beginning and I am the end. He's the beginning of Psalm 23 and he's the end of Psalm 23 too. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he's the end as well, surely goodness and mercy, because we have such a good shepherd. Because he continues to keep his eye upon the flock of his inheritance. Because he is of such a gracious, blessed mind concerning his sheep. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We notice as enabled is two characteristics that the apostle, that David looks at here, goodness and mercy, and the fact that they will follow him all the days of his life, and that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy. Well, the psalm is of one piece, as it were. One fundamental thought. How great the Good Shepherd is. And that being the case, it arises from the Good Shepherd himself. You remember in the vision that John gives of, or was given, of the heaven itself, the life of heaven was spoken of and represented as a clear river, a water of life flowing from under the throne of God and of the Lamb. Clear as crystal, it says, no impurities, no ifs or buts there, no qualifications, no hidden sub-clauses, clarity and power and an abundance. How great's the goodness thou for them that fears thee, keepst in store, a river of the water of life flowing, and flowing from under the throne of God, a sovereign river of the water of life. That is the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the Lamb is the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's that which he has secured for his inheritance, for the flock of his inheritance. The revelation we have in the Word of God concerning the Good Shepherd speaks of his goodness. He was good in himself. He went about doing good. He never broke one of the commandments of God, of the holy commandments of God, to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, thy neighbor as thyself. He came to the end of his days, and he was able to say, even with the great trial of the cross before him, that Satan coming, and the hour and the power of darkness almost upon him, he was able to say, the God of this world cometh, but findeth nothing in me. Not a defiant thought, not a reluctance, not a discontented thought arising in the Saviour's mind. Though he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, in a world of sorrows he stood out preeminently as the man of sorrows. It's a Hebrew way of expressing a very powerful way of expressing the sorrows that were visited upon Jesus. He was the man of sorrows. So the great feature that set him apart was his sorrows. You remember that instant where Jesus was sitting in the house having a meal with the Pharisee, and a woman came in, and she was, we are told, a sinner. That was what characterized her. We don't know her name. We don't know her father or mother or whether she had children. But we know that she was a sinner. That's what separated her apart, a sinner in thought and word and deed. And known among fellow sinners as the sinner. Well, Jesus is known among the children of men as the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet in all the troubles he passed through on his side, it was goodness. He kept entirely, absolutely, with hand and heart and foot and ear and eye, the whole counsel of God. I do alway the things that please him. You would expect with such goodness that goodness would flow forth like the throne of God in heaven above. What flows forth is crystal clear, a river of life. One would expect to flow forth from such a source of goodness as the goodness to man. And that is what we find with the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And that is what David found. Surely goodness will follow me. Who is going to stop the flow of the river of the water of life as it flowed from beneath the throne of God and of the Lamb? Who is going to stop the flow or divert it? Or who is going to cause it to cease to be crystal clear? It was a sovereign river flowing according to his sovereign power from under the throne of God and of the Lamb. Goodness characterized the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It had to be, because he came into the world to be a good sacrifice for his people. The Lamb had to be without spot or blemish. It was offered by any of the children of Israel coming up to offer a sin offering before God. And all the animals that were sacrificed, their blood shed on the Day of Atonement, all of them had to be without spot or blemish or any such thing. It had to be examined inwardly by the priests, lest there was some hidden defect, a hidden sickness that could not be detected from an outward examination. Christ was of that goodness. He was the Lamb. He was the sacrifice for the sins of his people. He had to be goodness altogether and entirely. He was examined inwardly by the eye of his Father, and he was accepted for his goodness in the offering of himself, the just, the good, the just for the unjust, the good for the bad, for those who were by nature lost sheep and in rebellion against God. Surely that goodness will continue to flow, and mercy, well, it was to exhibit the mercy of God that Jesus came into the world in order to exemplify that mercy towards sinners. He came not to convict the world, but that the world through him might have peace. The purpose of mercy. We read in the Word of God, when the love and kindness of God toward man appeared, and that love and kindness was exemplified in the person and work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mercy toward sinners. None that came to him would be turned away. None that applied to him for mercy would go away empty-handed. Syrophoenician woman came seeking deliverance for her daughter from the power of Satan, and she is met first with silence. She is reminded that she is not one of Abraham's children. She is reminded that the bread is for them. The disciples desire that she would be sent away, but she continues to ask. She is saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely, is this not the font of all mercy? Is this not the one who has come in the name of divine mercy? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. How are sinners not going to perish when their sins cry out for eternal condemnation? Are they not going to perish where they trust, where there is faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is good and merciful? Because these are the great characteristics of the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus said. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Good and merciful. Merciful and good. Surely, if this is the character of the Good Shepherd, then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. Remember that great example of the mercy of God received in the very death and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, the thief on the cross, who had served his master Satan so faithfully, so violently, so consistently, and took his fallenness with him to the cross and nailed to the tree suspended next to Christ himself, two thieves and Jesus in the midst. And this man began by railing against Jesus, speaking of him dismissively and disrespectfully, and railing upon him, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Save thyself and us." He was speaking the words after Satan. So someone would tell a child what to say. Copy me. Here's how to say it. This is the very spirit in which Satan met with Jesus in the wilderness. If thou be the Son of God, change these stones to bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from the pinnacle of the temple. If thou be the Son of God, bow down and worship me. The Lord answered, answer for answer, truth against the lie, light against darkness. The power of the Lion of the tribe of Judah is also the Lamb of God prevailing against the Lion of darkness in this world. And the devil fled, left him, but he returned. This was the hour and the power of darkness. Many servants that day doing his work, speaking his words, seeking his dark and wicked aims and ends. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, save thyself and us. As though salvation was the same as life itself in a lost condition. He would continue the life he had. That would be his salvation. That's commonly the salvation among the children of men. My life, the continuation of it, the taking away of death, taking away of disease. He was brought to a better mind and to cast himself on the mercy of the Good Shepherd. Remember me, he said, when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Not as would be suggested by the crown of thorns, a mockery of a kingdom in this world, but rather the spirit of the thief on the cross, that of David in Psalm 132, let the crown upon his head flourish. Crown of gold, crown of victory, crown of eternal blessing. Surely goodness and mercy, surely it's going to follow the thief on the cross. It's not going to leave him there. It's not going to leave him a felon, suffering for his sins to the very death. Surely that mercy with which the Lord dealt with him on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was like the man who, in the parable of the pennies and the agreement between the workman and the owner of the business, come and work with me for a day and I will give you so much. And some came in the morning, and some came in the afternoon, and some came in the evening, just as the sun was going down. They all received the same wages. All sinners saved by grace go to the same heaven, and to drink of the same stream that flows from under the throne of God and of the Lamb, the stream of life, clear as crystal. Clear as crystal. He came in the evening, the thief on the cross. The sun was just going down. A few expressions of faith and love and blessedness and sin, conviction of sin, we indeed justly, this is what we desire, but he has done nothing amiss. A little witness on the side of the Good Shepherd. A few words said, but not forgotten. Never to be forgotten. Written into the eternal, the word of the truth of the gospel to be read till reading time has passed, till eternity dawn. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David is speaking of himself. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. The goodness of the Lord was something which he himself had experienced. You see here a description of that goodness. He maketh, I shall not want, verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The picture is of the countryside and the shepherd leading his sheep. He leads them to green fields of grass which they can sit down in and eat to their continuing strength and growth. He causes me, he maketh me to lie down. The grass in the figure used here is the word of God, because it's the word of God that gives growth to the soul. Thy word I in my heart have hid, lest I offend against thee. It's like the manna in the wilderness, the bread of life, which the children of Israel were to eat. It fell around their camp. They would go out and collect it wherever they were. Supposing they had not moved at all, well, the manna would be around their camp. And if they'd moved some miles during the day, in the morning, that's where the manna was to be found, around their camp. God's mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. And that was the bread of life that Jesus used as a figure for himself. He himself, he caused the children of Israel to take of the manna, prepare it in their tents, and eat it, and receive strength for the wilderness journey. Here is another figure of the same. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. That isn't what my sins deserve. It isn't what I, as a wayward sheep, deserve. But it's what he did, this goodness, to me personally. He caused me, he made me to lie down. It's a sheep lying down in a pasture. That is what the Lord does as far as the word of the truth of the gospel is concerned. He causes the sinner to trust in the word and to delight in the word and to rest in the word and to be satisfied with the conditions. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden. He causes the sinner to lie down in such pastures. This is the gospel for me. These are the terms that suit me. If the Lord in the gospel was demanding any righteousness, then I would be excluded and left outside the door. If the gospel was for righteous, then I'm a lost sinner and will never receive peace and rest for my soul. But it is the good pastures of the word. The terms of salvation very plain. You remember in the history of David how he as a shepherd went and saved his sheep from the incursions of the wild animals coming in and taking away the sheep of his flock, and he pursued them and killed the bear and the lion and took the stolen sheep out of the mouth of the bear and out of the mouth of the lion, restored them to his flock and cared for them. And this wasn't just a case of native courage or strength or foolhardiness, perhaps. It was, as David said to Saul, it was the Lord. I was trusting in the Lord. I was resting upon the Lord. I was looking to him for help, for strength, for wisdom, for continuance. Even though it was only the life of a sheep that was at risk, I pursued after them. I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I was trusting in the Lord. It was to him that the glory was. He was a sinner caused to lie down in the green pastures. So you see, when it came to Goliath, and Goliath roaring out his wicked thoughts and marching up and down in defiance of the living God and defiance of anyone that would come to fight him in the Valley of Elah, and David was there, sent by his father to see how his brothers' matters went, and he hears this abominable desecration of the good name of the God of Israel and defiance of the very existence of the God of Israel and the pride in the gods of the Philistines, who were no gods at all, that his soul is stirred within him. And he tells Saul, I will go and fight the man. No one else. I will go. And Saul puts his armor, his own armor, upon him. But the armor doesn't suit David. The very thought of armor doesn't suit David, because David is not going in outward strength, but with inward strength, depending upon the goodness of God, depending on his adherence to his own promises of mercy and sustenance and upholding. So he puts off Saul's armor. He tells Saul about the lion and the bear. The Lord was with me then in the wilderness when I was alone. The Lord will be with me when I go alone down into the Valley of Elah to face this wicked man. He is the good shepherd. Surely when I go down into the valley, goodness and mercy will follow me. So it was. He went down into the valley, and against all the wisdom of man and the defiance of this wicked man, Goliath, Goliath is brought down by a stone in his forehead, and his head is taken away by his own sword, and the head is brought back to Saul by David. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Faith in the Word, that's the sheep caused to lie down in the good pasture. Can you follow that experience yourself? That you were inwardly constrained to rest yourself upon the promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That's what the psalmist is saying. He caused me. All the glory is to the Lord himself. He caused me to lie down in these pastures. It also says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And he leadeth me beside still water. The waters are frequently a picture of the Holy Spirit. I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the city of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and if any man thirst, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. That Spirit that the Lord Jesus himself put into the heart of the woman of Samaria when she came, that gift of God, if you now knewest the gift of God and who it was that asked of you a drink of water, you would have asked of him and he would have given you a well of water springing up into everlasting life, the water of the Spirit of God. It's a great wonder that Christ came into a fallen world, was born at Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. That he passed through a fallen world, that he became the friend of publicans and sinners, not the great people of this world, but the publicans and sinners. And at last, that he was numbered among the transgressors, raised up between heaven and earth upon the cross, between two thieves, two great transgressors. He who was good, he who himself was merciful, not shown no mercy. Away with him, they said, away with him. Thought less than the least, let Barabbas go free. Now Barabbas was a robber. But let him go free, but we cannot let Jesus go free. His sins are greater in the eyes of the world than anything Barabbas did, more worthy of death. He passed through this world. He, Christ, passed through this world as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he himself gave that gift of the Holy Ghost to sinners here and sinners there, the woman of Samaria, the thief on the cross, so that they, as we read here, were led beside the still waters. David himself received a large measure of the Spirit of God. How else could he have written the book of Psalms, which speaks of the whole experience of the Lord's people in this world, speaks of the lostness of the lost, speaks of the saved nature of the saved, how great the goodness thou for them, that fears thee, keeps in store. Whom have I in heaven's high but thee, O Lord, alone? And in the earth whom I desire beside thee, there is none. He speaks of the whole range of the experience of sinners in the Psalms, their sense of the sinfulness that remains in their own hearts. My soul to dust cleaves, quicken me according to thy word. He speaks of the goodness of God, and the kindness of God, and the creative power of God. The heavens declare his glory, the skies speak of his power. It was the Spirit that led him into these truths. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He leadeth me beside still waters. It's the Christ of God who led David into the truth by the Spirit of God. David's prayer was along of this nature, when thou hast enlarged my heart, that's leading beside the still waters. That's the enlargement of the spirit and spiritual things, large desires, a greater love to the Lord, a greater hatred of sin, a greater desire after the better country, the city of habitation. Is that ever your experience? Has it ever been mine? Have we ever tasted these waters that the Lord is gracious? The Spirit is good. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me to the land of uprightness. They shall more. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He has tasted mercy also, this sweet psalmist of Israel, out singing other psalmists. He has tasted mercy. Says here, verse 3, he restoreth my soul. What does that mean? Well, the figure is of the sheep, and the figure is of that common phenomenon with the sheep, that it goes astray. Indeed, it's of the nature of the sheep, if left to himself, to go astray. I, like a lost sheep, went astray. David says in another part, thy servant seek and find. He went astray. He went astray sadly, profoundly, heartily. He committed adultery and then murder. The case of Uriah and Bathsheba. He stained his standing in Israel and his profession of faith and his high calling as a king under God to rule righteously and deal honorably day by day and with all his subjects. And he departed from the high calling of Christ and the Good Shepherd. You remember how he was left to himself for a time. Doubtless he went up to the house of God. Doubtless he was one of those who gathered, and when the sacrifice was offered, and when the high priest performed his exercises and his duty, taking the blood within the veil and coming out again and addressing the children of Israel. No doubt he was there when they sang the Psalms of Israel before God, and the instruments were played that were the Old Testament expression of praise and honor to God. But his heart, his heart was far off, still bound over by sin, unconfessed, withered within him, dry, unproductive. He would write no psalms in that state. He was near God physically, but he was far off from him. His heart shut up, spiritually dry, fruitless, unconfessed sin. But the Lord was merciful, and the Good Shepherd didn't leave him there. Any more than the shepherd seeing the sheep wandering away off into the mountains, or where there are cliffs and ravines and wild animals, would view the matter with complacency. Rather, he would chase after the sheep and bring it back. He restoreth my soul. That's the mercy of a covenant God towards one of his covenant sheep. He restoreth my soul. He sent Nathan, and he gave him words to speak to David. parable of the rich man and the poor man, and the poor man's lamb which he had, which was all he had, and the rich man having guests, then instead of taking from his own flock, takes the lamb of the poor man and prepares it to feed his guests. Oh, David said, the man deserves to die. Hardness of heart, along with a dryness of soul. Self-righteous spirit. But Nathan applied the matter. The good shepherd applied it. Thou art the man. He held up the mirror of the word for the king to see himself. You see yourself in there. It's you, David. That's who we're talking about. You deserve to die. A sinner. An ungrateful sinner. Why the Lord would have given you whatever you might have required or desired. You should have asked him. He's the good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of thy life, and anything that would be conducive to growth and grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Lord himself would not withhold from you. He took you from the sheep cots. You brought nothing to him. He gave everything to you. You're entirely indebted and dependent upon him, and indebted for every grace and every holy thought. Why would you sin? What advantage was there in it? What progress and grace was in it? He restoreth my soul. He gave the still waters as well as the green grass to eat. He gave his word and he gave his spirit. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. It reminds one, and reading Psalm 51, following upon this admission, like the dam which was holding back a huge amount of water. Then the dam breaks. And the water pours forth. The water pours forth. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. The confession of sin that we were reading in Psalm 51. Pouring out of his heart. Thou restorest my soul. It isn't just intellectual exercise he is about in writing Psalm 23. It's a personal experience. It isn't just a name written down with certain letters and having certain meanings for certain people. It's from his own experience, surely goodness and mercy. Oh yes, mercy. Mercy for a lost and ruined soul. Mercy for a wayward sheep. The mercy of a covenant God. The mercy of the good shepherd himself. Great is thy mercy. How great is the goodness. Oh, the blessedness of the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness that they were requiring water? They cried to God. The Lord commanded Moses to take his rod and to smite the rock, and the water would be provided. And as according to the promise of God, so it was. the rock was smitten by Moses' rod, and the water poured forth and followed them through the wilderness, so that they did not need to cry out for water. There was an abundance of water flowing from the rock. An extraordinary provision for the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was following them. It was for them. It was a provision for their needs. And it's a provision from God Himself. The Apostle Paul, led by the Spirit of God, makes that application in the New Testament. They all drank of the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They drank of the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They drank of the water that flowed from the rock, and the water that flowed from the rock which followed them through the wilderness was the promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He was with them in the wilderness, and all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In the same way as the water from the rock followed the children of Israel through the wilderness and were a symbol of and a shadow of the Good Shepherd himself being with his sheep in the wilderness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where all goodness and kindness and mercy and truth. You remember Onesimus, he was a friend of Paul in his need. When others were ashamed of Paul's chain, he was tied by a chain to a soldier and kept in prison like some notable wicked person, and others were ashamed to be associated with him, and perhaps fearful of the consequences of being associated with him. But Onesimus was not ashamed. He searched him out. He found which prison he was in. He found which cell he was in. And he kept pursuing his inquiries until he had met with him and comforted Paul in his imprisonment. Paul says of him, wishes this wish for him, prays this prayer for him, that he might find mercy in that day. That's the day of judgment. That he would be on the side of those who are recipients of the covenant mercies of God. That he would be on the right side. That he would be on the side of the wheat, not the husks. That he would be on the side of the grain, not the side of the weeds or the tares. That he would be on the side of the sheep, not the goats. That was his prayer for Onesimus. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those who have tasted that the Lord is gracious, those who have learned by the teaching of the Spirit of God to confess their sins and to say, indeed and in truth, He restoreth. He restored, He restores, He goes on restoring. That's the shepherd I need. The sheep need the shepherd every day. It's no use the shepherd saying, I'll go away for a week and then I'll see how things are. He knows very well how things will be. The sheep will be scattered, maybe stolen, maybe if in these countries eaten by wild animals, even fallen over cliffs and so on. He needs them every day. They need him every day. his guidance and his care. You and I need the Good Shepherd every day to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ. The four cases in his hands, we have this assurance here, I will dwell, I will dwell, I will most assuredly dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing shall come between me and that expectation of faith. They sought a city which hath foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. Eternal and ever blessed One, look down upon us in mercy. Grant thy grace in our hearts. We are graceless sinners by nature, but all grace is in thee. Thou art the God of all grace, the Father of all mercies. In thy mercy, make these things plain to each one of us here, to all our loved ones. Give them an interest in Psalm 23, that they might say, and we might say with them, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Take us to our homes in safety. Come out with us in the evening, we pray thee. Pardon our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.